Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 10 verses of this chapter, Titus 2, 1 through 10. But my focus will be the end of verse 3 and the beginning of the end of verse 3 and verse 4. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. That the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith and love and patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. Exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's join our hearts together in a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to your word this morning, we pray that you would help us. We pray that you would help me to preach your word faithfully. Especially help the women here, as this word is directly applicable to them. So we pray for them. And we pray you would help us in this time. Thank you for it. Thank you for the blessing of it. And we pray that you would help me in preaching your word. Thank you for this time you've given. In Jesus' name, amen. We saw last Lord's Day, as I was preaching on verse 3, about the older women and what they are to be, that they are to be reverent in behavior. They are to be holy, godly, reverent women in the way they behave. They're not to be slanderers. They're not to be those who are gossiping, slandering, tearing people down by their words. They're not to be given to much wine, or they're not to be drunkards. And they are to be teachers of good things. I spent a lot of time on what it meant for them to be teachers of good things, that they are to admonish and instruct and train the younger women to be faithful, godly women, particularly in their roles of being wives, mothers, and homemakers. And so we saw that last week, that reality of what God wants older women teaching younger women. But last week, when I was talking about them being teachers of good things, it was more of a broad overview of the importance of this, the need for it, and generalities of what they are to teach, and the importance of the older women encouraging the younger women to be godly, feminine women. But now I want to take this week, and my plan is, I think, at this point, my plan will be this week, next week, and the week after to focus more intently on what the older women are to teach the younger women, what they are to admonish them in. As we see at the end of verse 3, they are to be teachers of good things. And then we see that in verse 4, that or so that. They are to be teachers of good things so that they admonish the young women. And so the teaching of good things is directly related to them teaching and admonishing younger women in their roles and responsibilities. And so the main point of this sermon is older women, based on sound doctrine, are to admonish the younger women to love their husbands and love their children. My first point, older women, based on sound doctrine, are to admonish the younger women to love their husbands. Older women, based on sound doctrine, are to admonish the younger women to love their husbands. My second point, older women, based on sound doctrine, are to admonish the younger women to love their children. older women, based on sound doctrine, are to admonish the younger women to love their children. Some of you might be sitting here, though, and say, I'm not an older woman, I'm not a younger woman. Can I get anything out of this sermon? Well, yes, you can. If you are a younger man who is not married, when I talk about what it looks like for a wife to love her husband and for a mother to love her children, that's what you want because it's what the Bible says. So if you're a younger man, this is what you would want to look for and what it looks like for a woman to love her husband. If you are a man who is married, these are things that you would want to pray for your wife, and encourage your wife as she's doing these things. And if you're a child, you want to also be an encouragement and pray for your mom to be these things to you. And so this sermon has applicability for all of us, whether you're not married, whether you are married as a single man or as a married man. And of course, it will have application for married women and for younger women who are not married to know what does God expect them to be as it relates to their husband and their children. And so, again, my first point, older women, based on sound doctrine, are to admonish the younger women to love their husbands. I've been continually putting in the main point and my subpoints, it's all based on sound doctrine. Why should a woman want to love her husband and love her children? Ultimately, or that a key reason is because of her being saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because of God's grace to her, even though she was fallen and sinful and rebelling against God, God snatched her out of the fire and had mercy upon her and brought her out of darkness into his marvelous light and has forgiven all of her sins and has reconciled her to himself through Christ and has given her a new heart with new desires that loves God's ways. And so it's all rooted and grounded in the reality of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And this is even what the text will tell us. If you look at verse 11 of this chapter, we see after exhorting older men, older women, younger men, even Titus, connected with younger men and bondservants, he says in verse 11, "For because the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." That's verses 11 through 13. So we see in these verses that the grace of God coming to us in Christ is the motivation for older men to be godly, older women to be godly, younger women to be godly, younger men to be godly, and even bondservants to be godly. What is the motivation? The grace of God has appeared for salvation. That is the motivation. And ladies, if your motivation is anything less than that, there are other motivations, but if you're not motivated out of the grace of God for you in Christ, you will eventually despair. Because your husband will let you down. Your husband was not meant to be your savior. Your husband was not meant to be your all in all. Christ is meant to be your all in all. And therefore, your motivation must be the grace of God in Christ, so that whether your husband responds how you want him to when you're loving him, or your children respond how you want them to when you're trying to love them, you will keep going because you know that God, who sees you in secret, will reward you openly. And because you know that you're doing it not ultimately for your husband, not ultimately for your children, but for Christ's sake, that's what will keep you going. And so you must be convinced, first and foremost, that the reason why I want to love my husband, the reason why I want to love my children, is because I am saved by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Because I am a new creation in Christ. And because old things have passed away and new things have come. That is why you want to love your husband and love your children. And if you don't get that, it will all be in vain. You can read good books, I'm sure, quote unquote good books, that will give you a lot of practical tips of what it looks like to love a husband, what it looks like to love your children. But if it's not rooted in Christ, if it's not rooted in sound doctrine, it's not Christian. It's not Christian. And there is a movement out there, and some of it's probably good. There is actually a movement, I don't know if you've heard, but coming back called the trad wife. Trad being short for traditional wife. It's actually becoming pretty popular. But if that is not rooted, if wanting to be a traditional wife is not rooted in Christ, it's not really worthwhile. Being traditional for the sake of tradition is not good unless it's rooted in sound doctrine through Christ. Unless it's rooted and grounded in, I am a daughter of God because of Jesus, and therefore I want to live this way. It must be rooted in that. And I'm going to give you a lot of practical things about what it looks like for a wife to love her husband straight from what God says. So we're going to get to that. But I want to ground it in Christ is our reason. Jesus and his gospel is our motivation. And what we want older women to point to younger women is you do this not for your husband's sake ultimately, but because of Christ and your love for him. Because wives are to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. So their loving submission to their husband is actually done to the Lord, because it's all rooted and grounded in Christ. So hopefully I have your conscience and you're convinced of that, that it must be rooted in Christ. It must be rooted in the gospel. It must be rooted in the grace of God that has appeared to bring salvation to all men. But this is what older women are to teach younger women explicitly. In verse 4, it says that they, the older women, are to admonish the younger women. And so this is a, we can call it a ministry, or women, older women, mentoring younger women for the purpose, and we're going to focus on two things that older women are to mentor younger women about, and that's loving their husband and loving their children. Whether you're married or not, this is what God wants you to know, and this is what older women should be pouring into younger women, whether they're married or whether they're not. It's not, we should not have the attitude, and I hope we don't, but we should not have the attitude that when a woman gets married, then we start admonishing them how to love their husband and love their children. That should start way before they get married. Because if you're trying to train someone how to love a husband, love a children, 2 weeks before they get married, you lost a lot of ground. This should be something from the beginning, from the foundational realities of what you're training daughters to be. You're training them that God wants you to love your husband and love your children. That is God's will for your life. Some women will not get married, but most women will. And it's God's will for women who are married to love their husband and love their children. And so therefore, we should do that. Older women especially should do that for younger women from the beginning. From the beginning. But now, again, we will focus first in this first point of older women admonishing, exhorting, instructing younger women to love their husbands. So I have several things on which the Bible says, and which I believe is a way, are ways that a woman loves her husband. And so this is a way that older women are to relate with their husbands or to do for their husbands, and how younger women are to be trained in how they ought to love their husbands. If you turn with me to 2 Peter, you'll want to have your Bible, because I'm going to take us to these texts so that you can see them. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. You might see this text in verse and say, how does this have to do with a wife loving her husband? But I think it has everything to do with a wife loving her husband. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. This verse has everything to do with a wife loving her husband. Everything to do. Because why? Why is this verse? Why would I go to this first verse? This verse first. Because the key way a wife loves her husband is by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By growing herself in godliness. Because you cannot give what you don't have. And therefore, a woman, the first way she loves her husband is by growing and expanding her love and her relationship and her knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is the first way a wife loves her husband, because she should find her contentment, her satisfaction, her all in all, her love, her relationship ultimately in Christ. And therefore, her first desire should be to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A woman loves her husband best when she loves her husband second. A woman loves her husband best when she loves her husband second under Christ. A woman should not say, I love my husband first, because that would be idolatry. That would be sin. That would be rebellion against God. Jesus will not share his glory with any other. And therefore, a wife's first devotion, first love, is to sit at the feet of Jesus. That is the one thing needful for a woman. That's what Jesus taught Mary and Martha. The one thing needful was for them to be sitting at Jesus' feet. And so a woman loves her husband by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A woman should never say, I want to love my husband first. She should always say, I want to love my husband second, under the Lord. Under the Lord. And a wife who is growing in godliness, even if she doesn't know all the principles about being a good wife, you know what? She's going to be a pretty good wife, because she's walking in godliness. I remember Brother Paul Washer saying something like, if you have a couple that maybe knows all the principles, and I'm kind of paraphrasing what I remember him saying, but knows all the marriage principles and all that, but they're not walking in the fruit of the Spirit, it's not going to do them much good. But if you have a couple who maybe don't know all the principles and are not really knowledgeable about all the ways of marriage and married life, but they're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, they're going to have a good marriage. They're going to have a good marriage because they're walking in love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And therefore, the first way a wife loves her husband is by loving him second, by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So ladies, for yourself and for others, for yourself, know that I must love Christ first. And train and admonish the younger women to love Christ first. That's where it all begins. It all begins in loving Jesus first. He is our Savior. Not your husband is not your Savior. Your husband is not your Christ. Your husband is not your Redeemer in the ultimate sense. Christ is. And Christ alone must be your all in all. Now, if you turn with me to Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. As we continue thinking about how a woman loves her husband. Proverbs 31. And I want to start in verse 30. Proverbs 31 and verse 30. As we continue to think about a wife loving her husband. We saw first that a wife loves her husband by growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Proverbs 31 verse 30 says, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Again, I'm focusing on a wife's relationship to her Lord. A wife loves her husband by fearing the Lord. Because charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing. Beauty is a temporary commodity. But a woman who fears the Lord, that woman shall be praised. And that woman is truly loving her husband. And so a woman who is loving her husband is growing and expanding her fear of the Lord, her awe and reverence and desire to please him above all else, that her greatest desire is God's smile and her greatest dread is God's frown, that she is walking in fearing the living and true God, because charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. Not that charm and beauty are wrong in themselves, they're just not the ultimate thing. The ultimate thing is a woman who fears the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord. So a woman loves her husband by growing and expanding her fear of the Lord. Now if you turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. We will see Eve being, or the reason Eve was made for Adam, which is a principle for why God gives a woman to any man. as a kindness of him, particularly as he gives it to his believing sons, his sons who are in Christ. Genesis 2 verse 18 says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." And so we see a woman loves her husband by being a good helper, by helping him in the way she cares for him, in the way she loves him. By helping her husband, she loves him. So by being a helper. But I want to show you another text in what spirit she should be a helper. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We see a general principle about giving, but I think it can be rightly applied here about how God wants a wife to be a helper to her husband. A wife loves her husband by being a good helper. And we see in 2 Corinthians 9:7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." And so the way a wife loves her husband well by being a helper is by doing it in a cheerful way. If a wife can do things that are helpful for her husband, but she can do it with grumbling and complaining, which really isn't helping her husband. Because God loves us to give to him, and when we give to others, to do it cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. We could understand as well, as because we know all of Scripture, God wants us to do things with joy. God loves a cheerful helper. God loves when women don't help and serve their husbands with grumbling and complaining and a bad attitude, but with cheerfulness, with gladness of heart. I don't know about you, but if someone does something for you and you know they don't really want to do it, but they just kind of do it because they feel like they have to, you almost feel like you don't want to ask them again because you don't want to bother them. You don't want to step on their toes. You don't want to make them upset. So you almost rather say, well, I probably shouldn't ask them because I can tell by their body language and the way they're doing it. They did it for me, but they didn't really want to do it for me. And wives should not be that way to their husbands. Husbands should not feel like my wife might be upset if I ask her help on something. Husbands should not feel my wife might get upset with me if I ask for her help, if I ask for her input or her willingness to do something. Then I know that she might say, why don't you just do it? Then that husband is going to be less likely to actually be blessed by his wife who's supposed to be his helper, because she does it not with cheerfulness, but with grumbling and complaining. And so God loves a cheerful giver, and God loves when wives help their husbands in a way that's cheerful. This is actually a key feminine virtue. It's good for men to be cheerful as well. It's good for men to have a smile on their face. It's good for men to laugh and joke. That's good. And actually, it's a good thing. You know what? One way you can show love to someone is just by smiling at them. It's actually something you can do, and you don't have to pay them any money. You can just smile at them. It's free. But especially for women, this is such an important virtue that's undervalued, is cheerfulness in women. Because men, masculine men, are uniquely attracted to cheerful women. There's something about a woman being cheerful that masculine men love. You could ask them. They will affirm. I'm most likely positive. I see some nodding, or at least one brother definitely nodding. That men love cheerful women. And the way you can love your husband well is by being cheerful in his presence. It's not fun for a man to come home or to call his wife and she's not being cheerful. It's a blessing when he's talking to his wife and she's cheerful and she's grateful, and she, if they're in person, she has a smile on her face. God loves a cheerful giver. And so women should be a helper to their husband, but the spirit in which they should help is with cheerfulness, Or another way of saying that, women should help with kindness, because kindness is seeking the good of another person with a cheerful attitude. And so women are to be cheerful helpers. Another one, Proverbs 31 and verse 12. Proverbs 31 and verse 12. As we continue to think about what does it look like for a wife to love her husband? Proverbs 31 and verse 12. What I'm trying to do by taking you these passages is showing you that these things are rooted in Scripture. These are not just my preferences. These are not just the ways I would want it to be. This is what God says a woman is to do for her husband. That's why I want you to see it in the Word of God. Proverbs 31 and verse 12. She, that is the virtuous wife, she does him, that is her husband, good and not evil all the days of her life. All the days of her life. So a wife who is loving her husband, she wakes up and she lives. And the orbit of her life under Christ and under loving Christ, which we've already talked about, that's the preeminent desire. But she thinks, how can I do my husband good today? How can I do my husband good and not evil today? A wife that is loving her husband, her desire every single day is, how can I make my husband's life better and do him good? That's her desire. How can I bless him? How can I serve him? How can I honor him in a way that is doing him good and not evil? And you can even do this before you're married for your husband, who will be your husband, because it's all the days of your life. And so even things you do before you get married are ways of doing your husband good, because it's not just you start this when you get married. You're going to do all the days of your life. And so single women can do their future husbands good by the way they prepare and by the things they do. But older women are to do this, and they're to admonish the younger women to do their husbands good. To do their husbands good. Your husband should be able to say what verse 11 says. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. Why does the husband trust his wife? Because he knows that her desire is to do him good and not evil all the days of her life. In the way she spends the money, in the way she cares for the home, in the way she cares for him, in the way she keeps the home, in the way that she cares and interacts with others, her mindset is this good for my husband? That's what the Bible teaches. Her desire should be, is this good for my husband? Is this what would please my husband? Well, that's actually another point, so I'll wait to talk about pleasing your husband more. But she thinks about doing her husband good. So ladies, is this your desire? Is it your desire to grow in your relationship with Christ? Is it your desire to walk in the fear of the Lord? Is it your desire to be a cheerful helper to your husband? And is it your desire to do him good all the days of your life? Because that's what God wants you to do for your husband. And that's what God wants you to admonish the younger women to do for their husband. The younger women to do for their husbands. So we've seen that you're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're to walk in the fear of the Lord. You're to be a helper with a cheerful attitude. And you're to do your husband good. Now, you are to be respecting him with your mannerisms, speech, and actions. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. Ephesians 5 and verse 33. Ephesians 5 and verse 33. It says, "Nevertheless, let each of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So we see here a way a woman loves her husband is by respecting him. By respecting him. Another thing that if you want to be a blessing to your husband, being cheerful, like I talked about before, key way to be a blessing for your husband. Another key way is by respecting him. By respecting him. This is how men feel loved ordinarily. Men ordinarily feel most loved by women when they feel respected by women, particularly their wives. That is a key way that a wife loves her husband, by respecting him. By respecting him as a man, his position as the head of the home, these type of things. And so she should respect him and treat him in a respectful way in the way her body language is around him, her speech around him, and her actions. They should all be done, not only as we saw about doing him good, but is this done in a way that's respectful? Because it's not only what you say, it's how you say it that also matters to a man. It matters to women too in a unique way as well, of men being kind to women. But as it relates to respect of a woman, a wife to her husband, it's not just what you say, it's how you say it that matters to men and to your husbands. And so a wife is to see that her demeanor, her mannerisms, her speech, her actions are all done with a spirit of, I want to respect my husband. I want to respect my husband because he is the head of me as Christ is the head of the church. And so she wants to respect her husband. Now, Ephesians 5 and verses 20, I'll read 22 to 24 as we see another thing, that another way that wives love their husbands. 22 to 24 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And so we see in these verses, a wife loves her husband, wives love their husbands by submitting to their authority. By just as the church is submissive to Christ, is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. What that means is a wife is to honor her husband's authority and submit and put herself under his authority in following his leadership, in following his desire, in following his vision, in following how he wants to take the family in everything. And you say, well, it can't mean everything. Yes, it is true that a wife is not to sin for the sake of her husband, of course. But unless her husband, unless your husband is telling you to sin, you must submit to his authority in everything. Unless he's telling you to violate the clear commands of God, you must submit to his authority. It's not you do it if you like it. That's not submission. The way you can tell how well you are at submitting to your husband is when you don't agree with what he's doing and you still do it with a cheerful attitude. That's how you know how submissive you are to your husband. It's easy for you to submit when you think it's a great idea. And you're on board where submission is rub when he's saying, I know he's not telling me to do anything sinful, but I would do it a different way. I would do something different. And at that moment, you have the opportunity to show how much you love your husband by submitting to him in everything. And if he is doing something wrong, God will take care of him. You don't have to. God will take care of him. But you are to submit to your husband. You are to love your husband by submitting to him in everything. Because he is the head of his wife in the same way, or the analogy is in the same way Christ is the head of the church. And as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. So you love your husband by respecting him, verse 33 of this chapter, and by submitting it to him, verses 22 to 24 of this chapter. You love your husband by coming under his authority and by honoring his desire for the family. And so that's how a wife loves her husband, by submitting to him in everything, as the text says. Then if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 34. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 34. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 34. It says, there is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Just for clarity, when he's saying the things of the world, he's not saying in a sinful sense. He's just saying in a different sense. A woman who's unmarried has a unique opportunity to focus solely on the Lord. But a woman who's married has to be concerned, yes, about the Lord. Of course, she's still to love the Lord first, but also how she may please her husband. So wives are to desire to do their husbands good. And one way they do their husbands good is by seeking to please them in what they do, to be pleasing in their sight. They want to live and act in such a way, in a way that would be pleasing and acceptable to their husband. That's what the Bible says. A wife who's married should seek to please her husband, should seek to do what pleases him. And this can be as simple as in the way she keeps the home, in what she cooks, in the way she dresses, in the way she does her hair, the way she does her makeup. A wife should say, what would please my husband? A wife should desire to do even those small things in a way that she knows would please her husband, in a way that her husband would find pleasing in his eyes. So this is very practical of whatever a wife does, a desire of our heart should be, does this please my husband? Is this pleasing in his eyes? And if you don't know, you could ask him. And don't ask him hoping he tells you what you want to hear. Ask him because you actually want to hear what pleases him. Because that can happen too. You just want to hear because you already set your mind and you just want to kind of affirm what you already want. If you're asking, you should ask because you genuinely want to know what pleases him as his wife. As his wife. And a lot of these things, as you are married for a longer time, you'll know what pleases him because you've lived with the person for so long. But it should be your desire to not go against what would please him, but seek to live and act and behave in a way that would be pleasing to your own husband. That's what the scriptures teach in this text. Then another text. I'm not sure the best way to word this. It's from 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. Let me just put it this way, because this is the language from the text. Don't deprive your husband. You love your husband by not depriving him. I'll show you that from the text. I'll just put that as the language for this one. You love your husband by not depriving him. And we're talking about here not depriving him sexually. 1 Corinthians 7, if you look there, 3 through 5. 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Verse 5, do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So those are the verses. And so what these verses teach is a wife, also a husband, but I'm talking to wives right now. Wives, and older women should be teaching younger women this, and older women should be practicing this, that you should not seek to deprive your husband. You're not loving your husband unless, if you are depriving him of sexual intimacy. It's an act, actually, of defrauding him, depriving him. A woman who is depriving her husband sexually is not loving her husband as God desires. Sexual intimacy within marriage, let me just say this clearly so we all know, is good. Can we affirm that together? It's good within marriage. We need this because sometimes in the church we can go to the other extreme and only think about it as a dirty thing because we only think about the ways it's abused. But in marriage, it's holy, it's good, it's acceptable, it's pleasing to God. God smiles upon sexual intimacy within marriage. He is pleased with it. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. The marriage bed is undefiled. And therefore, a woman loves her husband by frequently and consistently and cheerfully, not begrudgingly, but cheerfully coming together with her husband because she loves him. Because she loves him. And one of the reasons given here, if you look at it in the text, I didn't put it there, God did. One of the reasons is why a wife should not deprive her husband is because of his lack of self-control. Because Satan might tempt him to illicit ways of fulfilling that desire if the wife is not seeking to please her husband by coming together with him. And so wives love their husbands in not depriving them because the husband has authority over his wife's body, as the text says. The wife also has authority over her husband's body, but a husband has authority over his own body, over his wife's body, and therefore it should be the wife's great desire to not deprive her husband in that way. Because for men, a key way that men will feel loved is by not being deprived in that way. And if they are, the wife can say all she wants how much she loves her husband. But a husband sometimes doesn't feel that if he's being deprived. And therefore, God exhorts the women and the men to give to their For wives to give to their husbands the affection due them. The affection due them. Hopefully that gets the point across, not trying to go too explicit about things, trying to be modest about it, but still clear enough that you understand what this text is saying. Because it's very important. As I've been reading in preparation for me and Liz's marriage, we've been listening to premarital stuff, and we read a book on called Strengthening Your Marriage. And in those things, they say the two big things. I think Wayne Mack, who wrote one of them, said two of the key things that he commented on that were issues in marriage were sexual intimacy and money. Those are the two key things that harm marriages. Not on the same page as it relates to sexual intimacy, and not on the same page about money. So this is important. This is important that a married couple are seeking to love each other, especially a wife to her husband, because that's what I'm talking about right now. Seek to love their spouse in a way that pleases God. Do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time. Now, if you turn with me to Proverbs 31, as we look at another way that a wife loves her husband, Proverbs 31 and verse 26. Proverbs 31 and verse 26. Proverbs 31 and verse 26. It says there, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. So we see in this verse that a woman loves her husband by being wise and by being kind. So she opens her mouth with wisdom. She speaks in a wise way, and she has the law of kindness on her tongue. And so by the way she speaks, she's speaking in a wise way. She's speaking in a kind way. She's speaking in a way that edifies her husband, because he knows as her helper, she will give him wise counsel, and she will do it in a way that's kind. So we see here wisdom and kindness. A wife loves her husband by being wise and by being kind to her husband, to others as well, but to her husband at first and foremost in terms of human relationship. And so she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And then the last one I have is verse 27 of the same chapter, Proverbs 31 and verse 27. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. A wife loves her husband by watching well, by watching in a prudent way over the ways of her household, and not by being idle. A woman does not love her husband if she's technically home, but on social media all day where she gets nothing done. That's not loving her husband. But you know that's a temptation for women nowadays. It's so easy to pick up this, and you might be technically home, but you're not home because you're being idle. And you're so consumed with this that you're not consumed with loving your husband and loving your children and making sure the house is kept well. You can be all across the world on this device, on social media. And women can be distracted by this. It's not wrong to be on social media. I'm not condemning social media. But it is wrong if it keeps you away from what God wants you to be as a loving wife, watching well over the ways of your household and not eating the bread of idleness. And so women love their husbands by watching well over the household and not eating the bread of idleness. And so these are key ways. Sure, maybe you could think of other ways, but these are ways, pretty substantial things in which ways in which women love their husbands. These are ways in which women love their husbands. And this is what younger women must be taught. They must be taught that this is what I am to be, whether I'm newly married or not yet married. This is what God wants me to be. And if a woman, younger woman, doesn't want to be these things, let me just say as clearly as I can, she shouldn't at that time get married. Because if this is not her desire, and these things are just straight from God's word, then she's not ready at that time. It doesn't mean she'll never be ready, but she's not ready at that time to be a wife. Because she should know what her responsibilities are and should desire those things. And of course, no woman is going to do these things perfectly. We're talking about someone who has the desire and feels grief when they don't. Because if you hear this list, you can feel very much, that's a lot of stuff. But God desires that you have these desires. And God knows that all of us, because we all have remaining sin, will struggle with these things. That you will struggle with these things as wives. But his desire is that you want these things. and that you pursue them and that you pray over them. And when you don't, you come to your husband and say, I did wrong. I was not seeking about doing you good. I was only thinking about myself. Will you please forgive me? I was depriving you. I was wrong. Will you please forgive me? I was not submitting to you and I was being rebellious. Please forgive me. I was not seeking your interests. Will you please forgive me? That's what a wife does when she loves her husband. When she fails, she confesses it to God and to her husband, and she pursues all the more to be faithful to God as a loving wife. This is what God wants, and this is what older women are to exhort younger women to be. These things that I have here that are straight from the Word of God are not what the world is teaching women to be to their husbands. They're teaching them to be, you're an independent woman. You do your own thing. You don't need a man. You don't need to be tied down. You're a woman and you are independent. That's what the world wants our ladies to hear. It does. And being a younger man, being more, or having, not being that long out of high school and college, this is, and being somewhat aware of what's going on, this is what the world is teaching women. But this is not what God is teaching women. God does not want women to be independent women. He wants them to be provided and protected for women. That's what God wants. Women are, generally speaking, I know there are exceptions, but generally speaking, women should always be provided and protected for by a man. God's ideal is this. You know, we have this in our wedding ceremonies. Who gives this woman? And she puts, the father puts the hand of his daughter into the man of the future husband. Why do we do that? That is not just mere ritualism. Ritualism. That has a purpose. Saying, you were under my headship. I was providing for you. I was protecting you. And now you're going to be provided and protected for by this man. I relinquish my authority to him as I put my hand, your hand, into his. And so women need to be taught, younger women, especially in our generation, that God does not want them to be independent women, but provided and protected for women. He wants them to be cared for by their father before they're married and by their husband when they are married. And they are to fulfill these roles as God has given them, ultimately unto Christ and for the good of their family. This is what God wants. It's what God desires. This is what God longs to see in women. And he wants older women to teach them these things. He wants older women to teach them these things. I'm almost at 50 minutes and I haven't got to children. So I think I'm going to, instead of trying to rush through that, I think I'm going to push that. This is the nice thing about being a pastor where you get to preach here every week. And you just push it to the next week if you need to. So I'm going to push that to next week, God willing. Talking about children and maybe other things as well. But as we wrap up this sermon, I want the ladies to be convinced. Now I feel like I have more time to talk about wives too, so that's good. I want the women to be convinced that this is what God wants for you. And this is what you must be teaching the younger women. And you know, the first way you teach younger women to be these things is by doing it yourself. By doing it yourself. Because it's hard for a woman to receive what you're saying if you're not living it. It's one thing if you admit that you did wrong and you're telling them that and you're confessing it as sin and you're saying, don't do what I did. They can receive it that way because they realize you're saying, I did wrong and I don't want you to do that. But if you're not saying what you're doing is wrong and you're telling them something different than what you're doing, it's hard for them to receive it. But you should be a husband lover. People should see. And I know different people express it differently, but these are the ways that God desires it. As I went through, God desires for you to love your husband. He desires for you to love your husband as an act of obedience to Christ. We could almost say a key way, a wife shows that she loves Jesus is by loving her husband. A key way a wife shows she loves Jesus is by loving her husband. And a woman who says, I love Jesus, but will not respect, honor, submit, and please her husband is speaking a lie. If a woman says, I love Jesus, but I will not submit to that man, I will not honor that man, I will not please that man, then she is not showing that she loves Jesus. Because loving Jesus is most tangibly seen in a woman that's married by her relationship with her husband. This is even what the Bible says. It talks about our relationship with our brethren, but it says if someone says he loves God, whom he has not seen, basically, if someone does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he say he loves God whom he has not seen? This is the argument in 1 John chapter 4. If we say we love God, we never saw him, but we don't love our brother, and who is our closest brother or sister in that sense, in the sense of another person who's a Christian? For a wife, it's her husband. For a husband, it's his wife. And so if we say we love God, but we don't love our spouse, how can we be walking in the truth? And so this is important. This is key. This is critical. This is necessary. And I want the ladies here to believe it and to know it. And I praise God that we have good ladies here. So I'm not bringing this sermon because I'm ultra concerned about the ladies in our church. I'm thankful we have godly women here. We do. I know we do. I am pleased. You all let me pastor with joy and not with grief. When I tell people about the church I get to pastor, I usually tell them that about the church. They let me do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for them, which is from Hebrews 13, verse 17. I am so thankful for this church I get to pastor. This is great. Sometimes people talk about how difficult it is to pastor. Sometimes I don't know what they mean because this church makes it so easy for me. I mean that sincerely. It is such a blessing to be able to pastor this church, because I know you want to obey the word. I know you want to hear what the word says. I know if you don't, you want to repent from it. I praise God for that. So all of this, take it as your pastor's encouragement to keep on and to do so more and more. Do so more and more. That you would be women that press on in holiness and righteousness, so that when people come to this church, when we have visitors or people see us from the outside, they see, wow, those women really love and respect and honor their husbands. As they see in the world, women talking amongst themselves how terrible their husbands are and how they're just foolish and how we don't need them and gossiping about their husbands and tearing them down, we need women who love their husbands and set an example for younger women so that they see what it looks like practically for a woman to love her husband. As I continue to go to application, if you're here, though, without Christ, you can never be a godly man, woman, boy, girl. None of us can ever live the life that God has for us unless we are in Jesus Christ. It all is rooted in that. Someone trying to live as a younger woman or older woman or younger man or an older man without Christ is a fool's errand. It's foolish. The only way that we can be what God wants is if we are in Christ, who died and rose again to save us from our sin. Only in Christ can we be what God wants us to be. And again, ladies, older and younger, all this must be rooted in Jesus Christ. As I started, I want to go back to that point. It all must be rooted in the grace of God in Jesus Christ, who died and rose again to save you from your sin, who rescued you out of darkness and brought you in his marvelous light. And because of your great salvation, because of this great salvation, you want to obey the God who loved you and gave up his only begotten son on your behalf. That's why you want to love your husband. That's why you want to train the younger women to love their husbands, because of Jesus Christ, his person, and his saving work. And this is what it looks like, ladies, for you to love your husband. Maybe some of you took notes. If you want to have these verses, I'd be happy to send it to you. If you want to know these verses, so you can look over them. If you want to know things to pray over. Sometimes you can think, my prayer life seems stale. I'm always praying about the same things. You can take these verses that I went to and pray over them. Take one a day and pray over it. That would be a great thing to do as a wife. And that'd be a great thing to do even as someone who's not yet married, as you're preparing to be married. And so we need a church, by God's grace, more and more, who have women who love their husbands well for the glory of Jesus Christ. And to apply this directly to the men or the boys this is the type of woman you want to have. This is the type of woman you want to desire and pursue and want. Not a woman who is like the world, but a woman who desires what God desires. And men, if your wife is doing these things for you, contributing in this way, praise her. Honor her. Be cheerful in the way you talk to her. And a lot of times, the reason why women are not what they are to be, because the men are not leading them as they ought. The responsibility first falls on us as men to lead our wives well and to instruct them and to encourage them and make sure they're growing. It's our responsibility first and foremost. And so if a wife isn't doing what she's supposed to be doing, we should first say, am I doing something that's making it harder for her to do what God wants? Because if you are a husband, you are to nourish and cherish her so that it's easy for her to submit. Husbands should be such godly men that they make it easy for their wives to submit, easy for their wives to respect, easy for their wives to please, because they know my husband loves me. So men, we must be the men that are godly and walk in the way God wants us to so that we are a blessing to the women in our life. So you are a blessing to your wife so that they desire to do what God wants. They're to submit regardless, but you should make it easy for them. They should please you regardless, but you should make it easy for them. They should respect you regardless, but you should make it easy for them because of the way you love them. Because if we have wives, we are to love them as Christ loved the church. And so this is what God desires. And may we grow in these ways, ultimately doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would apply these truths. And we pray you would help us do it all for Christ's sake. In Jesus' name, amen.